Let's pray. Father God, we just in song pray to you of your working in our life. Through your word, through the love of Christ, through your spirit. And as we open up your word, that is our prayer. That you would work. And as a speaker of your word, Father, I thank you that you have the promise that your word will work. That it is powerful, that it is sharp. That it won't return void. So I pray that our rest is in that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is my firm belief that for many Christians, we are functionally living reveals that we do not believe that God's word is sufficient for our needs. Our living reveals we do not think that God's word is enough. See, I believe if I preached a message on the inspiration of God, of Scripture, we would all say amen really fast. This is God's inspired word. Amen. Some of you have been in church long enough that I preached a message on the inerrancy. And some of you guys, what? If I preached a message on God's word is without error, I think we'd have some fast amens. That God's word is infallible. It will not mislead us. And again, we say amen. But I'm not sure that we could amen the statement, God's word is enough for me today. Now, I know that's a pretty bold statement. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are ready to push back and say, Pastor. The person laying in bed, eyes open at 2:30 in the morning, trying to figure out life. Where do you turn? Yourself? Deeper into your own thoughts, trying to wrestle and figure it out? Your friend's circle? That favorite blog you like? Or God's word? You see, there are moments where our life shows we don't believe God's word's enough. Have you ever had that moment where you had this big decision to make and you wished God would just speak to you and tell you what to do? Like you wish you could go outside and then you hear this big booming voice. Jeff, move to Wichita, Kansas for your next job. I'm assuming that's how God's voice would sound, okay? We're just going to roll with that one. Mary, house one is the option for you. And you're just crippled because you got this big decision. Why can't God just speak to me? There are moments where we don't believe God's word's enough. Have you ever had the moment where you just wish there'd be another chapter in the Bible about the big debate going on in the day? I didn't say what debate because next year is going to be a different big debate. Why can't there be a chapter in the Bible that gives me more information about this? Why can't God write a chapter about life support issues, medical treatments, appropriate dress, how much to work in a week? Why can't God's word give me a little bit more? There are moments we don't believe God's word's enough. Ever try to justify a decision with these popular statements and not God's word? Well, I prayed about it. And so I have peace. We don't think God's word's enough. Grab a popular book. I'll pick on one. No show of hands if you read it. Jesus Calling. Born out of the author's own testimony, I began to wonder if I could receive messages during my communion with God. I've been writing in my prayer journal for years, but that's one-way communication.
I did all the talking. I knew that God communicated to me through the Bible, but I yearned for more. I wanted to hear what God had to say to me personally on a given day. We, at times, don't think God's word's enough. Struggle with patience, peace. Honestly, let's put it in any sin. And we are not running to God's word for the power to change. Why? Because there are times we truly don't believe God's word's enough. We rip phrases out of context to give them meaning they really don't have, to offer up little trite emotional highs for us. Why? Because we really don't think if we use God's word the right way, it's enough for us. We can say all the right things about the Bible. It's God's word, amen. It's true, amen. It has no errors, amen. But when our life gets hard, or as one person I read this week, when our life gets just a little bit boring, we look for new words, new revelation, new experiences to bring us closer to God, not his word. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell me exactly who my Jesus Christ is and how he ministered. But that's old news. Put an individual on my TV screen that looks a lot like how American Christianity thinks Jesus should look, and I feel really close to Jesus now. There are moments we don't think God's word's enough. And it's not just on an individual scale. We structure churches with the belief system that says this is God's word, but the functional reality that we don't think it's enough to do the work. Again, not just picking on one church, but I'll pull it out there. Came across on my Facebook feed this week a church that's starting a sermon series in our area this Sunday. Church at the Movies. With the statement, we're going to go to some of the classic movies of our day to give us lessons about our Savior Jesus Christ and how to live. That's not our source. Which is why in our journey of thinking through who we are as a church and how we function as a church and how we go about making and maturing disciples of Jesus Christ, the sufficiency of Scripture should shape that conversation. God's word is enough. Scripture is sufficient. Now, when I say Scripture is sufficient, what I don't mean is that Scripture will give you a step-by-step process on how to change your flat tire on the side of the highway. When I say Scripture is sufficient, I am not saying that Scripture lets your heart doctor know how to give you open heart surgery. That is not what the sufficiency of Scripture means. But when I say Scripture is sufficient, it means that Scripture gives me every bit of knowledge and direction that I need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and how to live in a way that glorifies God. It is enough. It's enough for you today, Christian. It is enough for you individual searching for answers in life. It is enough that you need today for victory over sin. It is enough for you coming with massive burdens and doubts and fears and questions. It is enough. And church, it is enough for us as we face this daunting mission and destination to make and mature disciples. It's sufficient. It's enough. So, let's go to God's word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Now I'm going to read two verses that are very, very familiar. All Scripture. First total statement here. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Purpose. Why? That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, some of you guys could have quoted those verses. I grew up going to Awana. Those were like the theme verses right there. You had to know 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It was drilled into your minds. What we often miss is the context of those two verses. Paul is talking to Timothy. He's challenging this young minister, Timothy. And he's actually giving him a very sober warning. Verse 12, leading up to our verses, he's saying, Timothy, everybody is going to suffer persecution. Everybody who wants to live for God will at some level go through struggle. In fact, Timothy, you shouldn't be surprised by this because you've seen my own life. Like, Paul's life is a billboard that the Christian's going to go through suffering. And that's what he says in 10 and 11. Like, you've watched me, Timothy. You've seen my conduct, my aim in life, my patience, my love, my persecution, my suffering. So you shouldn't expect anything different, Timothy. And in fact, Timothy, you should anticipate more. Verse 13, because things are just getting worse. In fact, it's getting from bad to worse. As individuals are deceiving people, as they themselves are deceived. So you got this daunting task. You have struggle in front of you. You have opposition in front of you. So in this moment, what do you need? Verse 14, you need what you've had from the beginning, Timothy. Continue in what you have learned, what you firmly believe. What's that? Verse 15, that from a child, you've been acquainted with the Holy Scriptures. You've known them. They've given you what you need for salvation. So in this moment of struggle, in this moment of persecution, in this moment of false teachers coming in, you don't need a new self-help book. You don't need some market influence kind of how to do things. You need the same thing that you've always had, God's word. It's enough. And then 16 and 17 are simply proving to Timothy, this is why you need to latch onto this, Timothy. This is why this is your only hope. Because God's word is enough. Two simple statements to make us walk through this. Built off of the same thing we've been working to for over a month now. God's word is enough to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ. So let's take that statement and let's break it into two parts here. God's word is sufficient for making disciples, verse 15. Now some of you are like, Pastor, you said you're preaching out 16 and 17. I'm going to cheat, okay? I'm cheating on both sides of 16 and 17 today. God's word is enough. It is sufficient for making disciples. Verse 15, he makes the statement to Timothy. So you've had this word from a childhood. What does that word do that you have? It is able to make you wise. It is able to give you knowledge for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what it can do. All right. If you don't have God's word, if you didn't have God's word, and there are individuals today in this world who do not have access to that word, what will they know about God? They're not ignorant of it. The heavens declare the glory of God. I don't care where they are in creation, they could walk outside at any moment and look at their surroundings and be given irrefutable evidence that there is a God. And he's powerful. Now, I know the world is broken and I know there's corruption all the way around him. But even in that, there is irrefutable evidence that God exists. He's creator.
And they can push back and say, well, yes, but it's caused by this cosmic event. And all they're doing is deceiving themselves with the evidence right in front of them that's clear. There's a God. But what wouldn't they know? They wouldn't know anything about that God. That they would know he's powerful, but they wouldn't know what he's done. They'd have no clue how to have a relationship with him. They'd be completely ignorant of Jesus Christ, God's son. They'd have no direction for what to do about their sin. They'd feel the sin. Romans 2, their conscience would condemn them, but they wouldn't have the answer. Where's the answer? Timothy, you've had the answer. It's been in your lap your whole life. Because you've had God's word that is able to give you knowledge. It's able to make you wise unto the salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You have the answer, Timothy. God's word is sufficient to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, this is partly a head scratcher for me. Because when I get God's word, the sacred writings, I'm holding 66 books of the Bible. And it's all inspired, but don't we lean a lot on the second half? What did Timothy not have? He didn't have the second half. When Paul says you have the holy, right, sacred writings, he's talking about Timothy. You honestly have a lot of books that you and I kind of gloss over a lot. And he's saying that's enough to give you knowledge that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Timothy, you have the promises that the Messiah is coming. You have the truth that you have sin and you can't solve it. And you have the examples of Abraham that it comes by faith alone. You have the answer. It can make you wise to salvation. It is God's word that says, this saying is truthful and deserving of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the chief one. It's God's word that says, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. It's God's word that gives the bold proclamation, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. It's God's word that makes this simple statement, for God so loved the world that he would give his only son, that whoever would believe in him won't perish but have eternal life. You can take the Bible in front of you on the pew. If you don't have one, take it. We'll replace it sometime. If you have a Bible, you can open it up and read it. You can Google it on your phone and get to it. And if you read it enough, it will confirm to you what your heart already tells you, that you have sinned against a holy God and you are guilty before him. But if you read it and you keep on going, what you will see over and over again is that God, who you are guilty before, has also provided the payment for the sin that you're guilty of. And he does that through Jesus Christ's death upon the cross and offers that death as payment for your sin. How? Through turning from your sin and putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone, period. God's word is sufficient to make disciples. God's word is enough to make disciples. This is the beauty of God's word. It doesn't need our explanation. It can do it. It doesn't need our tricks. It's enough. God's word, church, and what we've been called to do is the very means that we're able to do it. So we preach it, we sow it, we proclaim it, we share it, because it's enough to make disciples. Now, I know some of you
Our same pastor, I nod my head there, and I'm with you. I mean, there's a point where I did not know Jesus Christ. And I could share some verses that I read that just opened my eyes to the truth of the gospel, and I got saved. So I'm with you, Pastor. I hear you. But Pastor, I got big problems today. Like, I got some big struggles. I got a lot of things that keep me awake at night. Let's just be honest. And for those kind of big struggles, what's God's word for me? I've read it. I don't always understand it. It doesn't speak to the things I need to hear about. No, no, no. God's word is sufficient for making disciples, and God's word is sufficient for maturing disciples. It is enough for you today, Christian. Verse 17. Now, I know I'm skipping 16. We will get to it. I got to build my point here. Purpose statement. That the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. God's word has a purpose. It is given uniquely by God to complete us. It's given by God to equip us for every good work. So let's just, diagnostic question. Ready? Who here feels spiritually complete? You're like, yep, I've reached it. Like that whole spiritual growth thing, I checked it off a few years ago. I'm good there. Done, bow wrapped upon it. I'm ready for heaven. We're good? No one's even bothering to look around. They're like, hey, I wonder who that is today. I want to talk to them. You guys know the answer. We're not complete. Like, work in progress signs should be on all of us right now. Because there are massive things that when we are honest before God, we know, God, I got a lot of work to do. Like, I am still completely in fixer-upper mode, God. And I'm kind of wondering if you're just going to knock it down and start over again because it's that bad. So when I get to this kind of statement, it says, here is God's word, and it is enough to make me complete spiritually. In fact, it's enough to fully equip me for everything that God calls me to be. It convicts. It strengthens. It corrects. It instructs. So run to it. Don't just dabble in it by listening to me preach once a week. Don't just grab a highlight verse that you see scrolling through Facebook that you latch onto. Make it be the base of what you read. Listen to it. Absorb it. Read it. And then read it again. And then read it again. And let God's word do the slow, transforming work of making you complete. See God's word equip you for every single thing you've been called to be. Spiritual growth, Scripture's enough. Live in wisdom and need direction, Scripture's enough. Have joy and peace and contentment and patience, Scripture is enough. Trusting God, yep, Scripture's enough. Know how to live in a crazy world in a way that honors God, Scripture's enough. I think a lot of us aren't, we're not convinced of that. I think maybe at one time we thought, here, yep, Scripture's enough. And then we run to it and we're left with this, like, we want to find the quick fix. We got problem A and we run to Scripture and said, give me the one verse that's going to solve problem A. And we're not changed overnight. And then what we do is we get frustrated with the instruction of God's word and we kind of just push it aside and we kind of drift away from it. I think all of us, take away Scripture on the equation. I think all of us have had that experience of just getting frustrated with instructions. Direction. That are incomplete. Okay, I am not mechanical. Okay, I'm not good with cars. I think I'm a good driver, but I'm not good keeping the cars drivable. All right. A few years ago, my car was making some noise. And instead of going into the mechanic and kind of giving that noise to the mechanic and trying to explain what the car was doing and seeming really foolish and getting taken for a lot of money, I had this bold idea that I was going to fix my own car. So I Googled the noise it was making, which is a really weird Google kind of thing to try to get results on. But I did enough research that I found exactly the part I needed. And I could buy the part for a fraction of the cost. And so I bought the part, but then the problem is you have a part and you need to get it in the engine somehow. Okay, and that's really hard, okay? So again, I went to the computer and I said, okay, I need to change this part on my Santa Fe. And I found a YouTube video of the guy doing the exact part on my exact vehicle. And I thought, this is going to be easy. In fact, I gave myself, I got an hour tonight, no problem. I mean, the guy does it in 5 minutes. Okay, now, of course, he edited his YouTube video. So I gave myself an hour. I'm good to go. And so I get my computer, get put it next to my car. I got the part. I watched the video. I said, got it. Then I look at my car. I know enough how to pop the hood. So that was done. But then I look at the computer and I look at my car and they don't match. Like, I'm like, his step one doesn't look like what I can do for step one. Like, I'm not seeing anything that he has on his car. So then I check. It's like, is he using my car? Like, maybe he's got this weird car that I don't know about. I'm Googling, like, do I have the right edition of the Santa Fe here? I do. And I'm just like, this doesn't work. I'd watch the video again. What step did I miss? All the steps are there. I'm getting frustrated. This is supposed to be easy and quick. And then I discovered something. I didn't know these things. Do you know times they put covers on top of engines? I thought those were called the hood. You have to open the hood and then take the cover off the engine. And then it reveals the engine. I wasn't even looking at the engine. I didn't even know the first step. My frustration was through the roof. And the instructions, I'm just not getting the first step down. And I am convinced that you and I have had those kind of experiences with God's word before. We run to it and say, we want answer A. And give me the quick fix and I got 30 minutes. Okay, so solve all my problems, word. I think we know it's important. We know it's from God. We know we need it. But there have been moments in our lives where it just didn't click for us. I mean, you read it and nothing changed. You didn't understand the directions it gave. I mean, you wanted that kind of like spelled out, like, God, I don't know what to do. And you wanted the answer, like, do this. And you didn't find it. You wanted the quick fix. You wanted the step-by-step approach to making yourself more spiritual. And because you didn't get that, you're convinced that God's word isn't working. And then you drift away and you attempt to find the answers and find the directions in simpler ways. And you stagnate yourself spiritually. Because you've taken yourself away from the very source that is enough to equip you for every good work. Church, you're shooting yourself in the spiritual foot when you do that. God's word is enough to equip you for everything that God desires in your life. So be faithful to it. Let it do its slow, transforming work as you go to it over and over and over again. Now, I know some are going to ask, if Scripture's enough for every good work, then why does Scripture not explain more? Like, if Scripture is good for every single work, then, like, why does it keep me in the dark on some stuff? Like, you're telling me it's sufficient, but, Pastor, I got a list of a long questions that it's not answering for me. Like, how is it that there are big questions in our life, and then other Christians read Scripture, and we're coming to different conclusions on this stuff?
I give my kids instructions a lot. Okay. There are times where I give my kids very broad instruction. Like, go put clothes on. Okay. That's really broad, isn't it? Like, they got a whole bunch of clothes. And I don't care, as long as they come out clothed with articles of clothing on that cover their body, they have obeyed my instruction, correct? There is a lot of liberty there. Scripture gives a lot of broad direction. Love God. Whoa, God, like Monday morning, there's like, how do I love you in this situation? Love me. Well, can't you be a little more specific? Like, I really want to love you perfectly, so tell me exactly what to do. Love God. Oh, and by the way, love your neighbor. Well, what does that look like? Like loving God. And there's so often we want, well, give me more God. We are attempting to make God's word say more instead of embracing the liberty that God's word says you have. Kids, put clothes on. Do you want to wear blue clothes, green clothes? Do you want to wear a tank top? I don't care. I just said put clothes on. Obey it. And I think sometimes we don't think scripture is sufficient because we want God's word to say more than it really says, instead of embracing the liberty that God's word does give us. God's word says exactly what God desires his word to say. If God wanted a chapter in the Bible with pictures telling you what to wear to church on Sunday mornings in the 21st century, he could have done it. But the fact that he didn't says you have some liberty. If God's word was wanted, God has a chapter in there saying, this is what you do step by step this week, he could have done it. If he wanted God's word to be like 1,000 pages much longer, he could have had it that way. It has exactly what he wants you to know today. Now, let's go to the other sin. There are times where I give my kids really specific instructions. Okay? You go into your room. You take those clothes that are dirty. You put them in the hamper. And then you put the exact clothes that I laid on your bed and you put them on in the right way. And you got to say this with kids, okay? Like the shirt goes on top. Okay? The pants go on bottom. One leg in one hole, the other leg in the other hole, and you come out ready to go. Now, obedience for that moment is very different than the first one, right? Because it's really clear, this is what you are supposed to do. And there are times where Scripture gives those kind of commands, don't they? This is what honors God. There's no question. There's no argument. There's no like, well, like, I can kind of see what he's saying there, but, like, he doesn't know where I live right now. So, I mean, I'm probably going to be okay doing this. No. God's word's enough. And here's the beauty of my God. He could inspire that statement thousands of years ago to a culture that's completely distant from the world I live in. And yet he knows that that truth is so universal that that's exactly what Luke Love needs to read in the 21st century in Wisconsin, USA. That's enough for you today. Christian, God's word is enough. If you're looking for the quick fix, the problem's not with God's word. The problem is how you view God's work in your life. Go to God's word. Now, I've made 2 assertions. Okay. That means I just made some really emphatic statements here. But I didn't prove them. If one of my students did what I just did so far to this point, they would have gotten this big note on their paper. You didn't prove your point. And then they would have gotten a grade they wouldn't have liked. So we have work still to do. Because I need to convince you, I need to show you that what I just said, God's word is enough to make disciples and God's word is enough to mature disciples, is actually the truth. And Paul does that. God's word is sufficient because of its source. Verse 16, all scripture. So let's be really clear here. How much scripture is Paul talking about? Great, we're on the same page here. All of it. Okay, Not some select ones, not the ones we like, not like, those are probably more inspired than the other statements over there. Like the words of Jesus, those are important. No. All of Scripture is breathed out by God. I'm glad the ESV does it breathed out. Some of you guys read inspired. Good word. Really good word. It simply means breathed out. See, this is two words kind of pushed together in the Bible here. It is God, breath. God speaks his word to you today. What's the source of the scripture you have on your lap? God. His words. I'm convinced that we've placed a lot between God speaking to us in his word and actually what we hold on our laps. I don't do this very often. I'm just going to read somebody else's testimony. Follow along. Let me tell you about the most wonderful experience I had early Monday morning. A little after 6 o'clock, God actually spoke to me. Like, there's no doubt it was God. I heard the words in my head. The words were in English, but they had about them an absolutely self-authenticating ring of truth. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God still speaks today, because he did. I couldn't sleep for some reason. It was about 5:30 in the morning, and I lay there wondering if I should get up or wait for sleep to come again. In his mercy, God moved me out of bed. I sat on my couch and on the corner to pray. And as I prayed, suddenly it happened. God said, "Come and see what I have done." There wasn't the slightest doubt in my mind that these were the very words of God. In this very moment, at this place in the 21st century, God was speaking to me. I paused to let it sink in. There was a sweetness about it. I mean, time didn't matter. God was near, and he had something to say to me. I wonder what he meant by "come and see." I mean, the God of the universe was speaking to me. And then he said as clearly as any words I've ever come into my mind, "I am awesome in my deeds towards the children of man." My heart leapt up. "Yes, Lord, you are awesome in your deeds." There settled over me this wonderful reverence. Peace came over me. God was communicating to me. The first time I read this, I knew the guy writing this. And I was going to have a lot of questions about the guy. I'm like, I don't know what's going on to you, buddy. And then he finishes. "That moment has increased my love for the Bible as God's very word in my life. Because it was through the Bible that I heard these divine words, and through the Bible I have experienced like this almost every day of my life. The very God of the universe speaks on every page into my mind and yours." I think some of you are actually disappointed by my illustration, because you yearn for an experience like the one he described. You somehow think that if God would just speak audibly to you today, it'd be more personal, more powerful, and bring you closer to God than what he's already said. This is the beauty of God's word. It is God's spoken word to you today. One person joked, and I don't even credit it to, I've heard it from several different places. If you want to hear God speak today, read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak out loud today, read your Bible out loud. Because that's how God communicates. How do I know God's word is sufficient? Because God speaks to me. It's the source. And the source tells me it's going to be enough. The source tells me this is exactly God's wisdom. I wonder what God's thinking today. He'll let me know. I wonder what God wants me to do. He'll let me know. I wonder what truth is today. Yeah, it's got that. Why? Because God's the one who speaks it. God's word is sufficient because of its source, but God's word is also sufficient because of its effectiveness. So all scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable. Like it's got a purpose. Okay? And it's got a very clear purpose. It's for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. That's the purpose. Need to know who God is. Need to know truth. Need to be taught who you are so you can build your life upon truth. Good. God's word does that. Need to get a spiritual 2x4 upside your face. Yep. God's word does that. Need to be rebuked for sin that you're holding on to. Good. God's word does that. Need to be transformed so that you love God more and more and yes, God's word does that. It was what it was made to do. It is sufficient to equip you for every good work because that's the very purpose of why God inspired his word in the first place. Do you believe God's word is enough? I know how we can answer that one too easily. So let's ask it this way. Does your interaction with God's word show that you really believe God's word's enough for you today? Not can you nod your head and say, yes, it's enough. But how you live your life, did it show this week that you thought God's word was sufficient for everything you needed to love God? Now, what we've been doing as a church is not just answering these on individual levels, but pushing ourselves to do one more step and say, what does this mean for us as a church? Because God's word is enough to make immature disciples, then how should FBC function right now? There's overlap in these statements, but I've pushed myself to these statements this week. Because God's word is sufficient, FBC must rely on God's word to do the work of making and maturing disciples of Jesus Christ. So let's do this question. What does our church need to grow? Grow spiritually, grow numerically. What does our church need? Okay. I think before this sermon, if I didn't give you the context of the sermon, and I asked the question just at the start, I think we would have had a really long list. Like there's a lot of things we need, Pastor. We probably need some good advertising, and we probably need a good welcome team. I mean, smiling face in the morning, that was good. And we need a nursery, really good equipped nursery. And, you know, heat's not bad. I mean, we live in Wisconsin. Like, heat might really help us make immature disciples of Jesus Christ. And we need, like, lighting that helps us out. And comfy chairs instead of hard pews, big help to making immature disciples. And I'm sure if I ask the question, what do we need to make immature disciples? We could come up with a lot of things on our list. Okay. There's nothing sinful about any of those things most likely on our list. But none of them would actually be the answer. In fact, if we took away all those other things, we took away the heat and the lighting and the air conditioning and the nice pews, we took away all the programs and the staffing. We kind of just put us, the church. And then we God's word. You realize we would have everything that we need to do what God called us to do. You put this same group in a field coming together and this word, and we have everything we need. Now, please don't, like, pastors cutting the heat off this winter because we don't need it. No, we put it in the budget for 2022, okay? We don't need it, but it can be nice. Please don't like, look at your kids and like, I hope you enjoy children's church and nursery this week because pastor just cut them. No, we didn't. But it's not what we rely on. We rely on this. Because this is what makes mature disciples. Because God's word is sufficient, FBC should be saturated with God's word. So Paul actually gives us the application. Chapter 4. So he's told us what God's word is. And then he says, okay, now he means business. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge and the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Like, wow, Paul, you just threw down the gauntlet. What am I supposed to do? Preach the word. Like, but yeah, but with program. No, no, preach the word. Fifteen-minute spiritual talks to give moral advice and not scripture does not make immature disciples. It may entertain and it may get people to come back, but it does not do the job. We saturate ourselves with God's word and how we come together in the truth of God's word Sunday after Sunday and calling each other to truth as we sing God's words that are filled with God's word truths. We saturate ourselves with God's word as we have conversations that reverberate through our congregation that is simply God's word being spoken over and over and over again. We come to God in prayer and we pray the truth of God's word into our life and say, this is the hope we have. God's word saturates our church, hopefully. Because God's word is sufficient, FBC should use God's word as it was meant to be used. Okay, this kind of assume this one too often. So like we assume that just because somebody got up, read scripture, and then talked for 35 minutes, that they were faithful to God's word. That's not always the case. To be faithful to God's word means we are coming to God's word, being faithful to the truth that God's word has in the context that it has. And we are calling ourselves to be impacted by God's word. Because let me put it this way. If God's word is meant to correct us, rebuke us, and change us, then when we come to God's word, it better be about getting rebuked and getting changed. And not just giving us factual truths about what it means to be God and what it means to be us. God's word is meant to change me, not to give me an information overload that makes me think I'm more spiritual than I really am. If we our time in God's word is simply, here's some cool facts about this passage. Here's what this word means. We are misusing God's word to prop us up with information and not actually use God's word the way it was meant to be used. To change us. Because God's word is sufficient, scripture should be supreme in FBC. If it is God's word that is going to do the work of making and maturing disciples, then it's God's word that better be supreme in who we are as a church. This cannot be about what I like, what it's been, and what I hope it to be. You put preferences at the center of the church, and you might as well make a country club instead of a church. You put tradition at the center of the church, and you will kill the church in one generation. It is only God's word that can do the work, so it's God's word that better be at the center. Is God's word enough? A few months ago, I was putting together an IKEA piece of furniture. IKEA really frustrates me, okay? It's inexpensive, I know. It frustrates me because I can take rough cut wood and I can make real furniture. But give me an IKEA box and I can't put together an adult Lego version. That's what IKEA is. It's just adult Legos. And so I was putting together a bed. And one of my kids came in to help me. And I think in the moment of frustration, as he kind of watched me trying to put this bed together, they asked a really genuine question. Dad, do you want me to hand you the instructions? Like, who do you think I am? Like, let me take you down to my wood shop. Let me show you a table saw. Let me show you a drill press, a lathe. I got tools. Instructions? I got this one. I've had too many experiences with instructions that are, I, I know we have engineers in our church. I honestly believe instructions sometimes were written by engineers having a good laugh over break. Because, they try to make it so complex. Like, put CF part G into part 35 and part 17X as you hold part 17X together with part 7C coming into the side. And you're like, I got two hands. This is not going to work. And I've had the instructions. I've literally had instructions that start in English. Okay, and you think, this is good. And then you flip the page and guess what language they go to? German. Spanish. And I picture these engineers just having a good laugh when they do this. They're like, this is going to be a riot. Which is why the question gets put to you on instructions. And I'm like, no, I got this. I can figure this out. I don't need it. That's not enough for me. Church, when it comes to Scripture, I'm afraid we have the same view. I can do it. I'll figure it out. Like, we got this. No, we don't. Not on our own. Not in our wisdom. Not with our ingenuity. Not even with how we used to always do things. God's word, though, is enough. So we go to God's word. And so, Father God, I pray now that your word works in your church to do your task. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.